Our session today is about lumps, bumps, and sarcomas, the aftermath of an unplanned excision and how to avoid it. I don't have any disclosures, and this is my brief introduction for this panel. We have three great speakers from varied disciplines. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and we have a panel of orthopedic surgeons and surgical oncologists to talk with you today. Incomplete excisions remain a significant problem, and we still don't have a great solution as to how to stop this process. This is a patient who presented to a physician with a medial knee mass. The mass was seen on imaging that was about 9 centimeters, and the physician went ahead and removed the lesion. And the patient ended up having significant significant edema, bruising up the thigh, down the leg. And at the time, this patient underwent massive radiation therapy. He had to have a free flap to cover the residual defect after excision. The problem is that we know today that this is very functionally detrimental to this patient. And it seems that in today's era of technology, the ability to communicate, that these sorts of things we would hope wouldn't continue to happen, but they do. We looked at a significant volume of cases at our institution a few years ago to see if now with technology, with education, with dissemination of cases and information, was anything different. And it was very interesting that we found that nothing is new today than it was 10 years ago and 20 years ago. There's still one out of every three patients that a physician who takes care of sarcomas deals with, one out of every three patients still comes in with an incompletely excised soft tissue sarcoma. These patients have to have more surgery. They have to have higher fields of radiation. They have a higher local recurrence rate. So it's significantly detrimental to these patients. And this isn't just our institution. This is seen over and over and over in the literature. For me, when we did this study, it stemmed a series of about 10 research projects in which we looked at distance from a sarcoma center. Did it matter if you lived 5 miles or 500 miles from a sarcoma center? Did it cost more? Could we potentially disincentivize surgeons to remove lumps and bumps as masses if it cost more? And we showed that it cost more. We even did a study looking at resident education, and we sent out a survey to general surgery residents and orthopedic surgery residents to see what type of education they got at their facility. And what we found was that in the end, this seems to come down to physician education, physician knowledge, and the surgeon doing the surgery either not recognizing or not dealing with a soft tissue sarcoma in the proper manner. So if you leave this talk today and our symposium with no other knowledge, this is the most important slide for me. Size is important. And if you see a mass that's bigger than 5 centimeters, which is about the size of a golf ball, or at the wrist and the hand, 1.5 centimeters, these patients need some sort of three-dimensional imaging. Our preference, and I'll show you why, an MRI scan is the best image to get. The size, the depth, if it's deep to fascia, and if it's growing. The unusual presentation is a lesion such as a fat mass or what's considered a lipoma that continues to recur. Anything that's unusual in the patient presentation, no trauma, things like that should be considered. In doing this research and presenting this talk for a couple of years and meeting with a lot of general surgery residents as well as orthopedic residents, faculty and staff, I've found myself that there are differences in orthopedic surgery education and general surgery education. And this is sort of a list of things that I have seen that are different. The evaluation of a mass, how you biopsy a mass, and consideration of sarcomas versus carcinomas. Of course, by volume, the number of carcinomas that are seen and are taken care of are significant. Sarcomas are very small in number, maybe 10,000 to 12,000 cases a year. And I think because general surgeons treat carcinomas far more than sarcomas, the mindset is a bit different. So one big divergence we see in taking care of these patients is that general surgery physicians are typically used to CT scans, evaluating masses with CT scans, but the MRI scan is the best tool to evaluate a soft tissue mass of the extremity. And here's an example of a patient who first got a CT scan and then ended up getting an MRI scan. And you can see from the image on the left that the red arrow is showing you the lesion. There's not much you can see from this gluteus mass. But when you get your MRI scan, you can get T1 weighted images, T2 weighted images, contrast, stir, fat sat. There are so many things you can do with an MRI scan that you can see the size of the mass, the confines of the mass, the nature of the mass. And I would contend that the majority of times, the question you would have in dealing with a patient is this lesion a fat mass or a lipoma, or is it something else? And an MRI scan will differentiate that for you every time. The other interesting thing we see is the concept of a longitudinal incision in the extremities. And we're talking about the arms and the legs and a lot of lesions in the trunk. The preference is for a longitudinal incision. We still see patients come in with transverse or odd incisions that make it very difficult to re-excise. The other is the concept of an incisional versus an excisional biopsy. An incisional biopsy occurs when a lesion is bigger than 3 centimeters, the mass is opened, a small portion is taken, and a true biopsy is performed. What we see is that physicians will take patients to the operating room or to their clinic, and they perform an excisional biopsy, but they don't completely excise the mass. So if you take a patient and your goal is to do a biopsy and in the same setting remove a mass, you need to ensure that the entire mass is removed. And we find that this is often the reason that we have to go back and do a large re-excision, is the intent was not to get a negative margin surgery. And this is not too uncommon that we see a patient who has a biopsy right through critical structures at a difficult angle. This patient ended up having a hindquarter amputation because the contamination of the neurovascular structures to the limb. Drawing out the incision, evaluating the biopsy, knowing what future surgery may occur becomes really important. Here's a patient who had a transverse type incision, which made the excision extremely difficult. And these are patients who go from having re-excisions to needing free flaps. Here's a patient in contrast who had a small excision, the longitudinal nature, the very small, close suture lines allowed us to do a re-excision, primary closure, not changing the function for the patient. And I would remind you that there are no free rides in life. This is a patient who had a needle biopsy. The black dot is the needle, and it shows you how much bruising can occur if care isn't taken, even with doing a simple core or needle biopsy. One of the other things we see that I see as a divergence is that radiation and surgery, in the majority of times, are the mainstay of treatment for soft tissue sarcomas and not chemotherapy. You can't expect for a soft tissue sarcoma that you're going to be able to clean up your surgical field with radiation or with chemotherapy. These lesions have to be completely excised. And I think for folks who deal with a lot of carcinomas, who know that you can get pretty close margins, but maybe clean up the field otherwise, it's not the case with soft tissue sarcomas. The grade is the most significant predictor of survival, but the margins, having negative margin surgery is the most significant predictor of having a local recurrence. So keeping things in mind, we have three great symposium speakers that are going to come up one by one to talk, and then we're going to go over some cases with you guys.